let's begin. We are up to Divrei Hayomim Beis. Today we begin a new Perek, Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin. Uchechaloi Shlomo Lehispalel, after Shlomo concluded the Tefillah, which was the entire Perek, Perek Vav, the Ho'esh Yodah Mei HaShomayim, fire came down from heaven, V'toichal Oilav HaZvachim, and the fire consumed the oil and the zvachim, the eshmen hashemayim, uchvoy Hashem molei sabois, and the honor of Hashem filled the bois. This was a sign, this was a revelation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed was mekabel the tzvila of Shlomo. He accepted this makom to be the place of the hashros hashuv, the permanent abode for the permanent resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Shechina now was resting in the bois. V'lo yochlu ha-kohanim lavoy al-beis Hashem. This really goes back to what it says in Parakei, and the intensity, the intense kedusha that filled up the bais was unable to. V'lo yochlu ha-kohanim lavoy al-beis Hashem. They were unable to enter into the beis Hashem ki molei chod Hashem es space Hashem, because the Shechina's presence prevented the kohanim from entering. V'chol b'nei Yisrael roim beredes ha'esh. Everyone saw, the entire Klal Yisrael witnessed the beredes ha'esh, the fire descend. Uchvoyin Hashem al habayis, and the honor of Hashem was upon the bayis. Vayichru apayim arza. Everyone bowed down. Apayim means on their face. They completely fell on their face, flat on their face, and bowing before Hashem al haritzpa. Vayishtachavu, and they bowed. Vehoidois, and they gave thanks. La Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasto. And here they gave shevach vayodach Kadosh Baruch Hu by giving thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu for resting His presence among Klal Yisrael. V'hamelech v'chol am zevchem zevach lefnei Hashem. And the melech and the entire Klal Yisrael began to offer sacrifices before Hashem. Let's take a look at some of the Mitzudos David. Just very quickly, a few short words in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Aleph, V'chvod Hashem, Ratzolam Hashakein hoya molech molech, Asher hoya koydim yidas ha'esh, ve'esh yatsu mirat kohanim. This means that the Shekein hoye mole that the Shechin dechvod Hashem filled up the bayis, kasher hoye koydem yirida soesh, before the fire came down, me'esh sheyotzu hakoyhanim min hakoydesh v'eschilu lohorim koil k'mash omar l'mal. So this really is going back to what it says in Parakei, that even before this point in time, When the Shlomo began to pray, the Shechina came down upon the Beis Hamikdash. V'hoidois l'Hashem, Amru hoidois l'Hashem, Es ha'hilul. They give thanks to Hashem, words of thanksgiving. Amar ba ki toiv, v'hu halel ha'gadol. So this is the hal ha'gadol. Hoidu l'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto. The hal ha'gadol, which we say every single Shabbos in the Pesukei de Zimra. There are 26 expressions of Hoidu l'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto. So what it seems to be saying here is that when it says in the Pasuk, V'hoidos l'Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto, this is just a reference point. A reference point that the theme, the motif of the halal that they gave forth, concluded with the words Hoidu Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasto. And we know in the Mizmor that we say on Shabbos, there are 26 times it says ki li olam chasto, which represents the 26 generations that existed before the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Hashem was zon the world with chesed. We earn our keep in this world by being mekayim the mitzvos and learning Torah. But before the Torah was given, HaKadosh, we had nothing to. We did not earn our keep. It was done that we have done that we deserved, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should sustain us. And this is the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the world for 26 generations. And here they are making that acknowledgement. Yeah?
Do you have any idea of what is meant by a sense? The presence of the Shechina.
I have no idea. We don't know. Well, we don't know what this means. We have no idea what this means. The only thing going back, so we learned about the Aram. They put the Aram. This was really discussed in detail in the previous paragraph of the Mefarshim and the Malachim, where the Aram was not put in the center of the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Aron was put closer towards the entrance, and that's one of the reasons why the Badim extended towards the Peroches. Why couldn't they put the Aron in the center? The Aron, the Kodesh HaKodashim of Shlomo, was double the size, more than double, it was 20 by 20. The Aron was only was very small. They could have put the Aron in the center. So the Mefarshim says they couldn't get in, as every step they took was painful. I don't say painful, the Shechina was so intense, they were unable to push to push
like
the our own
force field.
Yeah, exactly. So some type of force field of kedusha, which I really don't know. It's obviously these are very spiritual things which we do not relate to. Okay, now there's one interesting theme about kitov kilelam chasta, and this we're going to come into the next pasuk. We're going to see the next pasuk. You know, let's just run ahead, and we'll come back to the mitzvot. Pasuk hey, vayizbach hamelech Shlomo es zevach habakar. Okay, now Shlomo begins to offer karbanos, and he brings zevach habakar eshem shnayim elof 22,000. 22,000 sacrifices, vitzon sheep, male of the Eshim, 120 olaf, vayachnuchu espes, elokim hamelech v'chol ha'am. Okay, the numbers are significant. 22,000 bokar, 120,000 tzon. The number 22, whenever you say the number 22, you're obviously dealing with the letters of the Aleph Beis, you're dealing with the Torah. Aleph Beis, anytime you have the 22, it automatically is a code for Torah. Talmud Torah. Aleph Bina, Aleph Beis stands for, the Gemara says, Aleph Bina. Aleph means Aluf. Aleph means to learn understanding. Aluf Bina. Because the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis represent Torah. Here, if Shlomo is bringing 22,000 Karbanos, he's obviously alluding to the concept of Talmud Torah. Furthermore, what was the Shira? The Shira is Hoidu LaHashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chasdav. Chazal are very clear that Mizmar, the reason why there are 26, we just said, is that it represents Torah. That person was put into this world, the only reason, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring us to Olam Haba, Hashem could have created the Neshamos, and could have, the Neshama can enter directly into Olam Haba. Why do we need to go through this intermediary step of first coming into the Prozdar, to coming into the antechamber, this world, which is only a Prozdar to Olam Haba? Because if we would enter, Hashem would take us directly to Olam Haba, we would feel shame. We would feel we did not earn our keep. It's a natural thing in the Bria. A person has to feel that he has earned his keep. It's no fun taking handouts. A person has satisfaction when he has a parnasa, when he earns his keep. Therefore, if Hashem would take us into Olam Haba, we would feel ashamed, we would not be able to derive benefit. We have to come to this world where there is darkness, there is hester upon him, and we have nisyonos, and we choose to do the right thing, and by choosing the right thing, we earn our reward, we'll come to the next world, we will then be able to fully enjoy benefit from the Kedusha of Olam Haba. Therefore, this Mizmor Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo tells us that for 26 generations, from the time of the Bria until the time of Matan Torah, the world did not have an opportunity to earn its keep because the Torah was not yet given in a level where we were commanded to observe the Torah. And therefore, we were ashamed in this world for 26 generations because Hashem was sustaining us. Forget about what's going to be in the next world. Hashem sustained even this world for free without man having the opportunity to observe the Torah. Now, after 26 generations, Hoydi Hashem Kitov Ki Le'olam Chasdo, he has given us the Torah, and through the Torah we're able to take it to remove our shame and earn our keep in the next world. So in other words, what is the Mizmor all about? The Mizmor is all about Torah. It's all about that finally, after 26 generations, we have received the Torah. And what are the Korbanos all about? Torah. 22,000 is Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, that is learned Torah. And what is Shlomo doing here? He's coming to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. He's coming to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. And the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is not Torah. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, really, really more significantly, is avodah, is korbanos, is to daven, is to serve Hashem. So what's the obvious lesson? The obvious lesson is you cannot separate Torah from tefillah. Your davening is only as good as your learning. And your learning, your success in learning, will only be as good as your davening. The two are the two different areas in the service of learning Torah and davening are two sides of one coin. You cannot separate one from the other. Look, in the Beis HaMikdash, we have what's the center of the Beis HaMikdash? The Aron. What's the Aron? The Aron is the Luchos. That's where the Shekhinah is resting, on the Luchos. But what are you doing in the Beis HaMikdash? You're offering sacrifices. What else is in the Beis HaMikdash? The Mizbeach. I mean, the Lishkos HaGozes. The seat of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin Gedol, the Sanhedrin Ketana. The two of them go together, and here in this inauguration, Shlomo is making it very clear by selecting a mizmar that centers on the concept of Torah 22 times, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chazdo, until we come to that generation number 26, when we finally get the Torah. And number two, the Korbanos is significant in the number of 22,000 of the letters of the Aleph Beis, which represents the concept of Talmud Torah. Okay, just Derech Agav, just this is really off the topic part, but the number 22,000 Elef is very significant, because we go to the letters of the Aleph Beis. What's the first letter of the Aleph Beis? Aleph. Aleph is also Elef. Is also, you can pronounce Aleph Lamed Pei as 1,000. Aleph is one, it's the smallest unit in the world, and Aleph represents the greatest, the most significant, the largest number possible. Now, how do I know the letter Aleph represents the largest number possible? So let's go to the Aleph Beis. You go to the Aleph Beis all the way until you go to the letter, let's go from Kuf, Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dal, Hevel, Zayin, Chav, we'll go all the way to the end of the Aleph, Kuf, come to the number 100. What comes after 100? Kuf comes Resh, 200. What comes after Resh? Shin, 300. What comes after Shin? Tav, 400. So L'chara, Tav is the last letter in the Aleph Beis. Not so. There are more letters in the Aleph Beis. What comes after, what's the Chaf? There's two Chafs. There's a Chaf and a Chaf Sofis. En-Chaf. What's the, so in the Divrei Kabbalah, the En-Chaf represents the number 300. I mean 600. 600. I'm sorry, 500. Sorry, 500. Keep on going, 500. What comes in the Mem? The Mem is, Mem, so there's 600. What comes next? Nun Sofis, 700. Then comes Sadi, and Sadi is 800. Then comes, I'm sorry, Pay first. 800. Then comes what? Then comes the Tzadi. 900. What's next? What comes after 900?
The big Aleph.
1,000. What's 1,000? Aleph. What is Aleph? Aleph. So the Aleph Beis is really a circle. It's not linear. The Aleph Beis is not like we think you go from Aleph to Tav. Aleph, Maral, the Maral says this. There's a Maral that says this idea. This is more like a Hasidic Torah. But it's circular. Aleph is the smallest number. It's the one, and then we come to 400, and then we deal with all the end letters, which takes us all the way to 900. And what comes after 900? Back to the beginning. Chozer Chalila. We go back in a circle. And indeed, the next letter is Aleph, which can be pronounced Aleph. 1,000. Shlomo is bringing 22 Aleph. 22 Aleph is Aleph and Aleph. Shlomo HaMelech is bringing the totality of Korbanos. The number 22 doesn't just say I'm going to bring a set. I'm going to bring the entire sphere, the entire range from beginning to end, the entire circle, 22,000 Aleph Korbanos. This is the significance of Shlomo's bringing these. Now, what about the number 120? So 120 is obviously a very significant number. Man lives for 120 years. That is the bracha that Hashem gave Adam. Adam will live, that not Adam, but after the chet, the world that we know after the Mabul, that man will live for 120 years. And Moshe lived for 120, the expression of Yeshem. And indeed, what's interesting is, how many times, when you multiply 120 by 50, what do you get? 6,000. 6,000. So that means, how many Yovlos are there in the world? Think about the world. The world is divided into periods of Yovel, 50 years. Every 50 years is Durar. Is freedom. There's a new, we reset the world, we reconfigure, we reboot. The world after 50 years is rebooted. Yovel, seventh Shemitah, after seventh Shemitah, we come to Yovel, we reboot the world. In the world, we know the tradition is that there are six, how long will the world exist for? We don't really know what this means exactly, but 6,000 years, whatever that means. And how many, 6,000 is divided into, what is a significant amount of time, man's lifespan, the max, according to Chazal, 120. How many 120s are there in 6,000? 50. So the world, in a certain sense, is divided into one big Yovel. Just like every 50 years we have Yovel, in the big picture of the world history, the world, the drawer, in the big picture of history, ends at the number at the end 6,000, because 6,000 is 120 multiplied by Yovel by 50. Shlomo here is being mispalo, so to speak, that this Beis Hamikdash should not just encompass the Torah, the totality of Torah, which is 22,000, but it's also the Beis Hamikdash conquers the entire sphere of Zman, of time. And time is given in the numbers of 120. 120 represents a unit of time that is extremely significant. Okay, so these are some of the ideas. These ideas of Torah and Tefillah are coming together. It's Zman Yovel and the 22,000 Karbanos are being offered on this very, very first day. Let's now take a look at the Mitzvahs. What?
How many makomos in the Beis Hamikdash were there for
to offer sacrifices?
Yeah.
Only on the Mizbeach. Well, we're going to see something very interesting in a few moments, that how do you fit 22,000 Karbanos on one Mizbeach? We'll get that in a moment. But generally, as far as we know, they only offered Karbanos on the Mizbeach. It's one Mizbeach. The Mizbeach of, of Moshe was a teeny Mizbeach. There was only room on the surface of to offer a carbon of one Amma by one Amma. Even though the Mizbeach was 5 by 5, you have to remember that the corners are off limits. So go from 5, now go down to 3. Think about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a square. Moshe's Mizbeach was 5 amos by 5 amos. But the corners, part of that 5 amos includes the 4 corners. And the 4 corners is not a place where you could burn. So the corner was an amma. An amma here, an amma here. So when you reduce, we have end to end is 5, and you take away the corners, what are you left with? 3. But you have to leave an amma space for the Kohanim to walk around. So we move another 2 amma. So what are you left with in the center? 1. 1 amma. 1 square amma. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, which was 5 ammas by 5 ammas, the only place where you can actually burn a carbon, you can burn a carbon, was in the center, which, think about it, is about, see the Chazanish here? It's 2 feet by 2 feet. So you go look at the tiles on the floor, you look at 4 tiles. Okay, look at 4, a square of 4, each one of those tiles is 1 foot. So that was the entire surface of the Mizbeach. Obviously, how much can you already burn in such a small space? And we know that the Nesim, they brought in Klal Yisrael. So the answer is, obviously, we discussed this, is that there was an Esh Min HaShamayim. The fire that was burning was not an ordinary fire. It was a spiritual fire, which consumed meat in a way that we have no understanding, which was accelerated, or L'mal L'mederech HaTeva. We discussed, why did Shlomo HaMelech have to build a much larger Mizbeach? Shlomo's Mizbeach was 28 by 28, which means the surface area for burning on the top turned out to, I think, 20 by 20. Because you have to, the Mizbeach includes the Soiv, you take away, let's try to make the calculation very quickly. And Rashi alludes to it and says it a little bit differently in a few moments, but the Mizbeach on the bottom was 28 by 28, but that includes the Yisod, the foundation. So reduce from 28 to 28 to 26 by 26, because take away the foundation. There's one Amma for the foundation. Now you go up, and then there's the Soivev. So we go now to 24 by 24. We keep on removing, we keep on shaving off 2 Ammas as we get higher and higher. Again, the bottom is 28 by 28. Go up, 1 Amma, you have to go in, 2 Ammas. 1 Amma here, 1 Amma here. We're now down to 24 by 24, by 26 by 26. Go up a little bit more, get to the middle, the Soivev. 6 Ammas up, this go in, another 2 Ammas. So we're down to 24 by 24. Go up higher, the corners, 22 by 22. Go in, you have to have 1 Amma for the Kohanim to walk around. So what are you left with on the top? You're left with 20 by 20. It said this beferish. This is what it said in the Pasuk back in Parakeo, Parakdalid, that the Mizbeach of Shlomo was 20 by 20. Really? Look at the Gemara. The Gemara and all the other sources tell that it was 28 by 28. What it means, that it was 20 by 20 means that the surface area for burning Korbanos was 20 by 20. But the very bottom on the floor was 28 by 28. Why was it so much bigger? It's because Neskatnu Hadoros. It's because we are on a lower level of sanctity, and the fire Min HaShemayim was not as potent as the fire of Moshe. The fire of the Shechina, the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, was so holy, all you needed was an amma by an amma, you can consume a billion korbanos, no problem. but as the generations passed and we went down a lower spiritual level, we're not the same exalted spiritual level of the time of Matan Torah. We weren't on such a high level. One am by one am was not enough. The fire was not so intense from Shemayim to burn. We needed a larger space. But don't kid yourself. 20 by 20 is not nearly large enough to burn the millions of korbanos that were offered on a daily basis. And then when it came to the Bayis Sheni, they made it even bigger. They upgraded it from 28 by 28 to 32 by 32. Represents the concept of Niskatnu Hadaras. But you're asking a very good question, because we're going to see in a few moments that the Mizbech indeed was not large enough to accommodate the 20, the Korbanos. And what they did was something very unusual. We'll see in a few moments. They sanctified the floor of the Azara. They offered Korbanos on the floor. The floor, right, the floor had this tremendous chiddush. How could the floor have the status of a mizbeach? A mizbeach needs to have corners. It needs to be square, needs to have corners. So it was an exception. In the Beis HaMikdash, the floor of the Beis HaMikdash has sanctity like the mizbeach. Now we can appreciate why the Kohanim were not allowed to walk with shoes. You can't wear shoes because it's Shal Nalecha Mi'al Raglecha, like Hashem said to Moshe, take off your shoes, Ki Amokoy Mashata'a To'oy Meitsham Ad Mas Kodesh. It's holy. The floor is mamish holy in the Beis HaMikdash. Ad Kdei Kach, that Bidiyavet, if you burn a carbon, you offer a carbon on the floor of the Azara, it's good according to one opinion in the Gemara, and that's what the Pasuk seems to say according to the symbol being the Pasuk. But let's, we'll get that in one moment. I want to go to the Mitzudas and Rashi and come cover some gun, yeah? Yeah? You want to say something?
Well, first of all, you're talking about the Azara, you're talking about the Beis HaMikdash itself.
Yes.
And what about the outside?
No, only the Azara, not outside the Azara.
So
only.
No one else could be in there if you have all.
No, I mean, I guess in the area where things are burning, you cannot stand. And it's right. Let's see the Mitzudas and we'll come back to some of these things really. So, V'chodus L'Hashem, V'chodus L'Hashem, V'chodus L'Hashem, V'chodus L'Hashem, V'chodus Hagodol. There's Halal Hagodol, that's Hoydu Lashem Kitov. People make a mistake, they think Halal Gadol is Halal Sholem. No such thing. On Rosh Chodesh we say Chatzi Halal. Right? Because we don't say there are two mizmorim, we only recite half because we want to show that it's only a custom. It's not a requirement to say Halal. When we say the entire Halal Sholem is Halal Sholem is when you say the entire Halal, and then the second called Halal Hagodol, which is Hoydu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto. However, there's another opinion in the Gemara that says Halal Hagodol, what the Gemara calls Halal Hagodol is Nishmas. Nishmas Kol Chai, Tivarecha Shimcha, what we say on Shabbos, that is a very holy prayer. It's a very holy prayer. There are a lot of things that are said about, but it's not. That's not what it says here in the pasuk. Here it says, "Hoydu Lashem Kitov Ki Li'olam Chastovu Halal Hagadol," which means they said the entire mizmar. That entire mizmar that has 26 expressions of Ki Li'olam Chastov.
This is the one you also call
Halal Mitzrayim. Oh, Halal Mitzrayim. No, Halal Mitzrayim is what we call Halal Sholem. Halal is what we say on during davening. Right, that's Halal Mitzrayim is it says Yisrael Mitzrayim, basically I'm lowest. Not Hoidlash, no. Halal Hagodol is the Hoidul Kitov Kili Olam Chasto, the 26 times. Halal Mitzrayim is another term for the Halal that we say in the Nusach HaTfilah on Davening on Chanukah. Chanukah, we're going to say Halal Mitzrayim. We use that as a springboard, a source for Halal. Okay, let's go back to the Psukim. Let's go back to Amelch Pasuk K one more time. Yisvach Amelch Shlomo as Zevach Habakar Veeshem Shnayim Elef 22,000 Vitzoy Meir Veeshem Elef 120,000 Vayach Nichu Espes So Elokim. By doing so, by offering these korbanos, they have now inaugurated the Beis Hamikdash Hamelech VeChol Ha'am VeHakohanim Al Mishmiroisam. The Kohanim on their Mishmiroisam, meaning they now started the 24 Mishmaros. This, that David, we spent a good long time, many parakim, all the mishmaros, the Kohanim and Levim, on this day is when it went into effect. The 24 mishmaros, aimdim, they stood. The halavim bichlei shir Hashem. The levim, they stood with their musical instruments. Asher asa David Hamelech, which David Hamelech prepared. Lehoidois la Hashem ki li oilam chasto behalel David the Adam, with the praises of David in their hands. A very unusual expression. The Adam would fit better with the musical instruments, but here it means that they express themselves. It's a figure of speech. It's a barred expression with the praise of David in their hands. They express themselves with praise, the songs that David composed with the musical instruments that David prepared. The Hakayanim mechatzrim negdam. The Kayhanim blew the trumpets. The Levim play musical instruments. Trumpets are not musical instruments. Trumpets serve another function. They serve, it's a calling, it's like a shofar. It's a sound which awakens you. It awakens you to concentrate on what is taking place, and that was given the role of the playing. The trumpets were given to the Kohanim, not the Levim. A trumpet is not music. The Kohanim Chatzrim Negam, the Chol Yisrael Oimdim, and the entire Klal Yisrael was standing. Let's look at Rashi Pasuk Vav Al Mishmarosam Mitzudas Pasuk Vav Kol Mishmar B'Mokam Yuchad. Every Mishmar stood in a special place. L'Hoydes L'Hashem Hatzolayma Amdu B'Chlei Shir. The Levim stood with musical instruments. L'Hoydes L'Hashem B'Halel B'Hilul Omer Ba Kililum Chasto B'Halel David B'Yadam. What's B'Yadam? So the Mitzuda says, not like I told you, a figure of speech, means the B'Yadam is going back on the musical instruments. They were holding them in their hands. R'Hatzolayma B'Yadam Hoyu Klei Shir She'Asa David L'Halel Bam Ruhu Kofel Inyin B'Mashamar. But it said that already. It already said B'Yadam back in the previous pasuk of B'Halvim B'Klei Shir. So why does it say here biyadam at the end of the pasuk? So that's the way these psukim are written. Divrei Hayamim, the style of writing is something which is hard for us to relate to. It was a different style of writing. We put words scattered throughout the pasuk, and you have to, it's a puzzle, you got to put it together. But of course, the other mefarshim say on a much deeper level, it opens up itself for multiple interpretations, many layers of interpretation, and the halal dav biyadam means they pray to Hashem with everything they got, with their full being. Biyada means their power. Every biyada always represents a concept of your power. They praised Hashem. They didn't just come into shul. You know, you come into shul, you're half asleep, and you schmooze for 20 minutes, and before you turn around, they're up to Baruch Hu. They gave it all they got to praise Hashem. Biyadam. Okay, next. Pasig b'mechatzrim, taku b'chatzrim, just calling the trumpets, negdam mul halavim, oimdim in the klai shall listen, oimdim l'shmoya hilul. They stood there to listen. It's a very interesting idea that you would think, we don't relate to this today like this now. And today, the congregation must participate. If you go to a shul and you don't participate in the prayer, you just stand there and you listen to the Baal Tzvila, we all feel cheated. That's our style of davening. You come to shul and you say halal. So everyone says the mizmor, and the shatz finishes off. The shatz begins a nigun, a melody, and everyone joins in. You participate, right? If you want to go listen to a concert, so you go to a concert. It's a whole different experience. Okay, today people go to concerts. So everyone gets all excited and they start dancing in the aisles. Okay, but generally you go to a concert, you behave yourself and you listen to the music. You appreciate. That's what it says here. It's a very bizarre type of thing for us to relate to. That when they... What? When they came to the Beis HaMikdash, they were listening. It was almost like a concert. They were listening. That's what it says according to them. Oimdim means the Kohanim were playing the trumpets. The Levim some Levim were playing musical instruments. Other Levim were actually singing. Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Liolam Chasto. And the Klal Yisrael, the Hamoinam, were just standing there, taking it in, absorbing the melody, absorbing the beauty, and that was their service. Sometimes it's even harder to listen and to pay attention. Can be even harder than actually participate in the avoda. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Now we come to something very interesting. Vayasu. Vayikade Shlomo. Okay, did I finish the mitzvah? They stood there. Okay, pasuk Zayin. Vayikade Shlomo as toichei chotzer hashel lefnei beis Hashem. Shlomo now sanctified the floor. Okay, the floor now became sanctified with the status of the mizbeach. Why was it necessary to sanctify the floor? So we're going to read the psalm according to a similar interpretation. He prepared there, he offered the oilos, he burned the oilos on the floor, the fats of the shlamim, the mizbach anachoshes asher osa shlomo, the mizbach anachoshes asher osa shlomo. Now this is a very, very difficult expression. These two words contradict one another. Nechoshes was made by who? Who made the Mizbech HaNechoshes? Moshe. The Mizbech of Moshe was retired. It was replaced with the Mizbech of Shlomo that was made from Evan, stone. Right? It was made from stone. The Mizbech of Shlomo was stone, pebbles, and lime. The Gemara has a whole, describes exactly how they made it. There was no copper, as far as we know, in the Mizbeach of Nechoshes. What does it mean here? Mizbeach HaNechoshes, Asher Osa Shlomo, Lo Yochol, it was too small, Lo Chil Es Ha'Oila, V'Yes HaMincha, V'Yes HaChalavim, it was too small to contain the Oila, the Mincha, and the Chalavim, and therefore they had no choice but to offer sacrifices on the floor, on the ground, on the Ritzpah, on the ground. So what exactly here is going on? So the similar interpretation is when it says Mizbeach HaNechoshes, it's a borrowed term. The Mizbeach of stone that was constructed by Shlomo was a replacement for the Mizbeach of Nechoshes that was made by Moshe. So we continue to refer to the Mizbeach of stone with the term Mizbeach HaNechoshes, in contrast to the Mizbeach HaZohov, the gold Mizbeach that was in the Heichal that was used for the Kitoris. That is the simple interpretation. However, we'll see in the Rashi in a few moments, others say no. Now this goes back to the idea that we discussed a few times, that Shlomo and Moshe, who is Shlomo's hero? Who did Shlomo idolize? Moshe. So here, we refer to Moshe with the word Shlomo. It's very strange. I mean, not necessarily, but we mentioned from of David Cohen, it wasn't only him. A lot of people say the same idea, is that the name Shlomo is not a real name. And Shlomo's real name was Yedidya. Shlomo is like Mashiach. Who's Mashiach? Well, if we are worthy, there are many people out there. There are people there out there in Klal Yisrael. There are tzaddikim, and if the Klal Yisrael will be worthy of Mashiach, then Hashem will select an individual, and his name may be John Doe, whatever his name is, and he will be given the name Moshiach. Isha HaShalom Shalosh. Shlomo is not necessarily a real name. It is a title. It is a name that is assigned to a specific person who will fulfill Hashem's mission. Melech HaShalom Shalosh. So here, it's a fascinating what Chazal is saying, is that we're giving the name Shlomo, was basically saying, who is the real Shlomo? Moshe. Shlomo, whose name is Yedidya, and Klal Yisrael are now elevating and giving him the name Shlomo, we're giving you the crown, we're putting the crown on you, and the crown is, your name is Shlomo. Shlomo is saying, I'm not Shlomo. Do we want to know who the real Shlomo was in the history of the world? Moshe. Moshe is Shlomo. That's how Shlomo looks at Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had all these brachos. There's going to be a Melech HaMashiach, and his name is Shalom. Lamarbe HaMishro, the Shalom in Kates, all these things. Shlomo Yedidya, who Klal Yisrael called Shlomo, is saying, it's not me deserving of this name. The one, if we look in the big picture, the one that we're going to give the name to is Moshe. Moshe is Shlomo. And that's really what it says here in this pasuk. It says in this pasuk, Ki Mizbach HaNechoshes Asher Osa. Who made the Mizbech HaNechoshes? Moshe. Yeah. Moshe was a name that was given by Basia. That's not a real name. Moshe's real name was...
He had many names.
On Simchas Torah, the Piyut, any name. But another name, the 11th name, okay, the 11th name of Moshe was given to him by who? Shlomo. By Yedidya. Yedidya, yeah. who we call Shlomo, also gave that individual a name. And he called him, he was Shlomo.
That's what the pasuk means. It's an incredible idea. It's a whole, and that's what it says. And the Gemara Kamat says this. If you can't read the Rashi, we'll read the Rashi in a few moments. If you don't learn, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Moshe Yedidya is calling Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Melech Shehasholim Shelo. He was the true king in Klai Yisrael. Moshe is called the king. Vayhi v'shur melech pesasef rosh hayom yachad shivtei Yisrael. Chazal interpret this pasuk in one interpretation. The melech is who? Is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the melech. And he's the melech shehasholoim shol. Sholom means shlemus, perfection. He brought the Torah to Klal Yisrael. His body was gnocchi. He was a malach 40 days, 40 nights, 40 days. No eating, no drinking. He was the melech. And that's a very powerful concept here that Shlomo is making clear at this moment in time. Now he's sanctifying the floor. Now let's look at the Mitzvah and look at the Rashi. The Mitzvah says, Pasuk Zayin. It's a very bizarre thing. It fits very well into this week's Parsha with the brothers, Yosef, the brothers, they sold Yosef. And what do they do with the money? What do the brothers do with the money? They bought shoes. For all things, they have to buy shoes. Why do they buy shoes? So there's many, many interpretations. But there's one very scary interpretation of why they bought shoes. It is because why do we wear shoes? Let's take a step back. Why do we? Because to take our feet off. But let's say the earth would be smooth. Say we have technology where we can make everything nice. And why do we wear shoes? So Chazal say, Arura ho'adama ba'avurech. Adam Harishon, when he ate Mechait Eitz Hadas, he brought a curse to the earth. Arura ho Adama, the earth is cursed. Ba'avurech, because of you, because of what you have done, you have rebelled against Hashem, have eaten from the Eitz Hadas. Therefore, you don't step on the earth. You have to stay away from something that's cursed. The earth is cursed. You don't want to connect yourself. You don't want to come in contact with. It's contaminated. It's contaminated. The Beis Hamikdash is holy. It's not part of the curse. Shal Nelech Yalrek Yamach Mashatoi made Kodesh was holy. Yo, the brothers seem to have subconsciously some guilt. We have here. You have to talk to a psychologist to really analyze. Who we have over here? Psychologists to come here. What was his name? He gave some shiurim here. Remember when I forgot his name. Klein, right? So they were really guilty. They sold their brother. What did we do here already? Our brother, our own brother, we sold him. So they had guilt. They had a sense of guilt. What have we done? They had to take away that guilt. They couldn't live with themselves. How to take away the guilt? They bought shoes to remind we did nothing wrong. He was cursed. He was a curse to us, this brother of ours, Yosef. He was a roideif. He wanted to kill us, telling about dreams that we're going to bow down to him. He was a threat to us and to the world. He was a terrorist. That's what they that's, he was a curse. Therefore, we have to buy a permanent reminder that he was a curse. The money that we got from selling him, we're going to use to buy shoes, because shoes is a permanent reminder to man that there's a curse in this world. What's the ultimate curse, the first curse in this world? The earth. The earth is cursed. And therefore, you don't come in contact, don't walk on the cursed earth. You have to be mafsik, you have to have a separation. So the shoes is a symbol of a curse. And therefore, Yosef was a curse. We're going to buy shoes with the money that we got for selling him to remind that we did nothing wrong. Yodeinu leshafchu es hadam hazeh. We're innocent. This is what is brought down. One, there are probably 100 reasons why you buy a shoe, but this is one powerful reason. The reason why I'm bringing out this concept is here is that the whole mikdash, the ritzbah, it's not just that the mizbeach is holy. The whole mikdash is so holy, there's no curse. Not only is there no curse, you can walk on it, you walk on it barefoot, you can even sacrifice korbanos on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the intensity of kedusha that appears in the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Zayin. Zayin says,
pasuk, there is a pasuk sign in the mitzudos echotzer. I'm missing the oy zayin in my mitzudos. I think no, estoich echotzer, ritzbas echotzer hakoyhanim, kidesh. The floor of the chotzer hakoyhan, which seemingly means after 11 amos. Now we don't really know. We discussed a few times, and we don't really know what the bayis rishon looked like. Even though we have nice picture books and they try to show us what it looked like, there are a lot of very details that are completely lacking, left out in Chazal. So we don't know exactly what it looked like. But when you come into the Azora, there was a section that was called the Ezras Yisroel. In the Bayis Sheni, we are certain it was 11 amos, not more than 22 feet. After that began the Ezras Kohanim, which was another, which went all the way until, I think it was also 11 amos, which went until the Mizbeach. Another 11 amos that went until the Mizbeach. In the Bayis Rishon, we really do not know how large, doesn't say anywhere, how large the Ezras Yisrael was, and how large the Ezras Kohanim. It does seem that the Ezras Yisrael was very large, much larger than the Bayis Sheni, that we discussed last week. It was larger, but we don't have any concrete proof to that, and in the picture books they seem to assume, if you don't know, assume it was the same as the Bayis Sheni. Okay, but one thing is certain. You come into the Azara, there's a section called the Ezras Yisrael, where the Yisraelim can observe. You want to be a tourist, you want to come and see what's going on in the Beis Hamikdash, you can stand there and watch. Then comes the next section. No one's allowed to go there. You're not allowed to go forward. You have to go, you have to be a Kohen to go forward. That next section that was right in front of the Mizbeach is what the Mitzvah says, that Shlomo sanctified with the din of the Mizbeach. You can offer korbanos on that section of the floor. Ritzbas chotzer ha-koyhanim kiddush begdushas ha-mizbeach yosso period. Mizbeach ha-nechoshes, rotzo loymar. Mizbeach avonim. So here it says in the Mitzvah, the Mizbeach ha-nechoshes, Mizbeach avonim. Oh, but it says nechoshes. So the Mitzvah is coming to apologize. Doesn't mean it was made from the Choshes, because the Mitzudo says it says Shlomo made it. Shlomo didn't make anything from copper; he made it out of stone. Mizbach Avon in Tachas, Mizbach Tachas to replace the Mizbach and the Choshes she'asa Moshe b'Midbar. Like, why did they need to make a? Why did they need to sanctify the floor? Because the Mizbech was too small, even though it was now 20 by 20, the area for burning korbanos. Lo yachol lohachil es marbis, because marbis harponos, the abundance of korbanos. Now let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says a lot. Rashi pasuk. Let's go back from the Rashi. Let's just start from Rashi pasuk vav. Let's go back one pasuk. Va'hakoyhanim al mishmerosam kasher chilkan davil chavta al mishmeros the sharis kol mishmeru mishmeru b'shavu shalah. The koyhanim now stood on their mishmeros. Each koyin, there were 24 mishmeros. Each koyin they went into effect the rotation of the 24 mishmeros. Va'alvim koyin al chavta al mishmeros shlichim. Mostly there were 24 mishmeros of levim lehoidois. To give thanks, b'chle shir shayoyimim choyu l'Hashem gitov kili olam chasdo v'halal David ha'chle shir shayoyimim boy the chle shir shayoyimim bo halal shel David v'ha'hoidois b'yodam shel Leviim. The chle shir was manufactured by David, and the ha'hoidois. And the praises were in the hands of the Levim. Okay, it's not, I'm not clear what it actually means. It means either that they were holding on the Kalim, or the expressions of praise were being recited beyond them through the hands of the Levim. I'm not sure what Rashi means. The Akoyhanim, the Chachim, the Egdom, the Koyhanim were playing the trumpets. Shalem, the Shore, the Chatzetra, Shenema, the Koyhanim, it's their function of the trumpets. Shenema, Rivne, Aaron, Akoyhanim, Yiskubo, right now. Pasuk Zayin, Rashi. Rabbi say nu cholkin b'davar zeh. We're mesechta zvachim. Daf nun tes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kidesh esritzbas hazara b'kedushas mizbeach. They kadesh the floor. Lahakdir ala ritzba ki mizbeach hanachosh es katan. Why? Because mizbeach hanachosh was katan mehachalu sheroboy hakorbanos. There were many korbanos. 22,000 bokar. 120,000 sign cannot be accepted by the small mizbeach. What are you talking about? Why not? It says elef oilos yale shloimo al mizbach she'osa Moshe. It says leel in Perik Beis that
that before they built the Beis HaMikdash, let's take a remember when Shlomo became Melech, famous Medrash. When Shlomo became Melech on his first day on the job, he was 12 years old. This was 7 years before they built the Beis HaMikdash. It took Shlomo 7 years from the time he became Melech to build the Beis HaMikdash. What did Shlomo Melech do when he was 12 years old and became Melech? The first thing he did was he offered 1,000 oilos. Now, there was no Beis HaMikdash. There was no stone Mizbeach 28 by 28. There was only one Mizbeach, the Mizbeach of Moshe, which was 5 by 5, which had an area of burning one amma by one amma. And how many oilos did Shlomo offer on that day? 1,000. Now, fast forward 7 years, he builds a new Mizbeach that is 20 by 20 area for burning, and he's 20, so how much 20 by 20 relative to 1 by 1? It's more than 400. 20 by 20 is 400 square amas. Moshe was 1 by 1. So 400, so you can offer, so therefore you can offer 400,000, 400, Rashi's different cheshvins. I don't know, Rashi's different, I don't know, but basically, just gave 400 times the amount of what he offered. If Moshe's Mizbech was Roy at that time, only 7 years ago, to offer 1,000 korbanos, whatever that means, but he was able to do it. So the Pasuk testifies he did it, so you can offer 400,000 korbanos at least. Maybe the larger you get, you have more, you can eat a lot even more, at least 400,000 korbanos at the same time. And how many is he offering? No big deal. 120,000 plus 22,000.
Right.
So 120 plus 22 doesn't add up to 400,000. So what's going on over here? So what's the big deal? What is the big deal? So one answer you can say, which is that in Hanami, in 7 years, a generation has gone down the Madrega. Even 1,000 we know is impossible, right? 1,000 is impossible. It's just a miracle. It's a miracle. A very, very powerful intensity of fire. 7 years, you know, Niskadim Hadar, think about 7 years ago. What was the world like 7 years ago? Were we better? Were we worse? I don't know. But maybe in Hanami, in 7 years' time, since the death of David, Hashem said to David, I don't want you to die one day early, because if you die one day early, I enjoy your davening more than the 1,000 oilos that Shlomo will offer. So maybe in 7 years, things a lot happened. But this is what Rabbi Yossi questions the Tanakhama. Now, I don't know the calculation. I'm not good in math. The place where you burn the fire was one amma, one amma. Now, I don't know why Rashi here says chavdal, chavdal, because we know it was really 20 by 20. It was 24 by 24 on the top. It was 28 and 28 on the bottom. You get to the top, it's 24 by 24, but there are corners. And there's a place where you walk around. So you have to deduct those four amos. It's 20 by 20. Hareshal Shlomo Chamisha. I guess if you go 24 by 24, and you want to include the corners, you want to include the area where you're walking around, it's going to be Chamisha Meos B'Shin B'Sheish. It is 576 times Keshel Moshe. So you can offer, theoretically, 576,000 korbanos. So what's the problem? We're only offering over here 22,000 and 120,000. So what's the problem? There is no problem. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, what then does it mean that he sanctified the Ritzpah? The Ritzpah means he sanctified the stones of the new Mizbeach. He permanently attached. That's a very big difference between the Mizbeach of Moshe and the Mizbeach of Shlomo. The Mizbeach of Moshe was portable. It had poles. You could move it. The Mizbeach of Shlomo was stone. It was permanently attached to the ground. You can't move it. It's not going anywhere. It's stone. So he sanctified he sanctified the location in the Azara where the Mizbeach stood, where it was attached to the ground. It does not mean that the Azara had sanctity. You're not allowed to offer korbanos on the floor of the Azara. You only can offer korbanos on the surface of the Mizbeach. And when the Pasuk says here, he sanctified Toch
hechotzer, it means the location, those 28 by 28 amos on the surface of the Azara, where the Mizbeach was glued, where the Mizbeach was permanently attached. Okay, now comes the whole thing that I told you before about the words of the Pasuk, v'lo yachal, the discontinuation, v'lo yachal l'hochil, b'shel Moshe hu aymer. It was unable. The Mizbeach of Moshe was on. The reason why Shlomo needed to make a new Mizbeach, was because the Mizbeach of Moshe, which is only one Amma by one Amma, was not able to accommodate all of the Kurbanos, so Shlomo had to make a new Mizbeach. V'lo yachol l'hochil b'shel Moshe hu oimer. Moshe's Mizbeach could not, because Adam ha'oimer nanos ploni u'pasul avoida. It is a midget. Moshe's Mizbeach was a midget relative to the needs of Klal Yisrael. And nanos is an amazing thing. It's amazing, like, if you take the words of Rashi to the full scope of what he's saying is, Moshe's Mizbeach is posel. There's a lot of depth in this Rashi. If it's that, how could it be posel? Because the Mizbeach, there's a halacha that if a Kohen is a nanos, is a midget, he's posel. It's a Baal Mum. Something that is abnormal, the abnormality is a disqualification for avoda. Just like an abnormality is a disqualification when it comes to avoda, it's a disqualification. The kalim, if the kalim are abnormal, it's also possible. The mizbeach, relative to the needs of Klal Yisrael at this point in time, was like a midget. So the mizbeach, even if they wanted to use the mizbeach of Moshe, it would be possible because it's abnormal. It's a midget compared to our needs. So we have no choice but to make a new mizbeach. But how can Rashi say this? That v'lo yochol lohachil shol b'shol Moshe. It makes it very clear. But the pasuk says over here, it says that it was not v'lo yochol lohachil es ha'oyle. It says mizbeach nechashe osa shlomo lo yochol lohachil. How can Rashi say lo yochol lohachil b'shol Moshe diber? It says in the pasuk it's clear as eshe osa shlomo. Rashi is saying v'lo yochol lohachil b'shol Moshe hu oimer. But the pasuk says eshe osa shlomo. That's the answer I told you before, is that Moshe is Shlomo. Moshe is Shlomo. Shlomo is not a name of a person. Shlomo is a title of an office, of a function, of a role, of a leader. Shlomo HaMelech is calling Moshe HaMelech Shehashalom Shalom. His Mizbeach is going to be retired. Okay, so up to Pasuk Ches, we'll stop here.